This is a very interesting gospel lesson for us to reflect on today. Many of us may have had a personal experience very much like the one Jesus is describing. I know I did. I had the privilege of preaching in my home parish. It was the centenary of the parish, the 100th anniversary of the parish, and lots of people were there. People came from far away, people who had moved away and now were there and wanted to, reestablish old relationships, lots of family and friends. And of course, since it was a celebration of the parish, many former clergy were there and other clergy who wanted to come and help us celebrate. And so the bishop was there as well. And so, needless to say, I got very nervous about preaching. What seems to be easy for me any other time when you put yourself in that kind of situation suddenly gets a little tense. But I have to tell you this. I wasn't nervous because the fact that the bishop was there or my colleagues as clergy or even that there were so many people gathered. What I was most nervous about was I got up to preach. And then when I looked over the congregation in front of me, I saw people that have known me since the time I was born. And in fact, some of them at one point or another in my life said, we're so proud of you. I remember you so long ago. I even changed your diapers. Now, if that's not something to be worried about when you get up and you start to preach, talk about knowing somebody well. When they've seen you in your birthday suit, as an infant, of course, it's kind of embarrassing. You see those people sitting out there. I felt probably like Jesus did very much as he went back to his hometown, in his synagogue, and began to teach. Because I remember this gospel lesson, and I heard what happened in this gospel lesson, and I was afraid that the same thing would happen to me. Those people in the time of Jesus, at that synagogue, they were saying to themselves, "Wow, look at him. Isn't he great? Hasn't he grown up? He's big and strong and tall. And he's pretty smart, too." And then as he begins teaching, they start to change a little bit. Suddenly, they're listening to what he's got to say. And sometimes, when we hear things, it's not something that makes us very comfortable. God's word isn't always a comfortable word. As it said, sometimes God's word is designed to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. They're looking at him and saying, "Who does he think he is? I knew him well. I knew him when he was playing in the streets, and I knew him when he was being a rascal with those other kids down the street. Who does he think he is getting up in our synagogue and telling us these things?" Suddenly, it started to spread, that sort of attitude, and suddenly Jesus felt something going on. And he realized that they were not listening to him anymore, because for whatever reason, they decided he didn't have authority. Now, this story, when we hear about Jesus not being able to work great works there, I think that's something that I would like us to think about a little bit today. Jesus, we know, and most of the Gospel of Mark in particular, is a great miracle worker. He's a great healer. He walks around and heals people, puts their hands on. Remember, just last week we heard a story about a woman who had been suffering for a very, very long time and simply was able to touch the hem of his garment and be healed. When we pray for healing in our lives, healing and wholeness, we get to the point that sometimes we don't get what we pray for right away. And as we said before, we get the idea that maybe we're not praying hard enough. We're not saying the right words. Or no, we're not praying for the right thing. That kind of looks at God as if God was sort of a Santa Claus in the sky, handing out little gifts. You know, that's how we say about Santa Claus with the kids. You better be good. You better be nice. You know, that sort of thing. Well, somehow then, you know, we think if God doesn't answer our prayers, we're not being rewarded. So we must have done something wrong, or we're not adequate to the task. That sees Jesus, too, as he's working these great works, working these miracles in his day, as sort of a magician walking down the street, or someone who has a bag full of magic tricks. And that somehow, you know, he sort of parcels them out. He gives them out as he desires. And in fact, you know, even last week when we heard about that unfortunate woman, it's as if she ran up and touched his garment and one of those little gifts fell out. And she happened to pick it up. That's kind of the way we really see Jesus if we're careful and honest about often the way we pray. And then we can see Jesus in a light here that says, you know, he's not a very nice guy. All these people got needs. They have needs. They're sick and so on. They need healing and wholeness. And indeed, he's a compassionate person. And so it says even in the gospel text that he healed a few. He healed a few. These were the people who trusted him. These were the people who had faith in him. But he sees that the great multitude around him are starting to mutter against him. And then he says, fine, that's the way you want to be. I can't work my miracles here. I can't work my astounding works here. That's not like Jesus has kind of wrapped up his sack and said, you can't have any. That's what I'd like you to think about. Because I don't think that's the image of Jesus that's accurate. I think what's really happening here in some ways is that it isn't Jesus' power alone. Somehow we got this idea that Jesus being the Son of God is sort of being the Santa Claus assistant. And when the God of high heaven doesn't sort of give us what we're asking for, you know, we got to send another list up there. Well, and Jesus being walking around in Palestine in those days, you know, he was the one with the sack and giving out the presents. And, well, you know, he got mad at them, so he bundled up his sack and tied it up and walked away. I don't think that's Jesus at all. Maybe what we need to consider is the fact that it wasn't Jesus' power at all that worked the healings. It wasn't anything special Jesus had in his sack of magic tricks. It wasn't anything simply because he was the Son of God. He can do all these marvelous things. But rather, the healing power came from the faith of the people around him. That the faith of the people who responded to his teaching, who responded to his presence, who responded to the kinds of things he was doing among them, that faith was the energizing reality that was then funneled through the hands of Jesus as he imposed hands on people, and people were healed of their illness, were made whole again. Jesus had no special magical powers. Rather, it was the power of faith. And not his faith, but the faith of the people around him. Well, you may say, well, that doesn't give Jesus credit. He was the Son of God after all. Well, wait a minute. That's why Mark includes this other little bit about these disciples, these 12 that he's called to himself. They weren't any different than you or I. We were pretty much the same. We're just human beings. None of us is the divine person of the second person of the Trinity, any lofty title of that. We're just human beings, and so were the 12. But Jesus gives to them the authority. And then he says to them, go out, teach, preach, do exactly what I'm doing. Impose hands on them if they need healing. Make them whole again. But if they won't hear what you have to say, if they won't listen to you, if they won't accept what you're giving them, then simply leave that place and, as this wonderful phrase is, shake the dust from your feet. Maybe that doesn't mean a whole lot to us, shaking the dust from our feet, because, you know, we don't walk around in sandals, at least not most of us, except in the heat when we're at the beach. But, you know, our streets are fairly clean, all things considered. They're not dirt paths. where we could get dusty feet and we could shake them off. Maybe a more contemporary way of saying this, what Jesus would say, if they're not listening to you, if they don't respond to what you have to say, then leave that place and just simply shrug your shoulders. Say, sorry, can't work anything here. See you later. And leave. That's all it is. It's not a condemnation. It's a testimony. If you're trying to talk to somebody and they just won't listen to you and you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, I'm sorry, that's all I got. And you walk away. That's telling them something about themselves, not something about you. And maybe that's just it. Maybe, you know, we have this notion of prayer as if we're asking for something to fall out of the heavens and into our lives. When prayer is really about opening up our hearts, where prayer is about disposing our hearts and minds so that we grow in our confidence of God's love for us, when we, in that confidence of God's love, we begin to trust God, and as we begin to trust in God, we are in fact beginning to lay the foundations for our love of God. For there is no love born without trust. And it is that very trust, that very love, that then moves us to faith. That we say, yes, the things that Jesus is telling us, yes, these are the things I believe. Yes, these are the things I want in my life. That can be powerful. That can turn around and give us power so that we, like the 12, if we go out and speak the word of God to others and they respond, we would be able to impose hands on them and they too would be made whole, their sins forgiven, their illnesses healed. That's a tremendous power. But you know, we're Episcopalians. We don't do things like that. We don't go out street corners and start talking about God. But, maybe that's the problem. If we're so reticent to talk about this marvelous thing that's happening to us on a daily basis, if we're so afraid to share something that has changed and transformed our hearts with another person who could benefit from that same change and transformation, then what good are we? Oh, but we don't do that. Well, friends, you know, there's a strain in the Anglican tradition. It's called evangelicalism. In other words, we're not just high church liturgists. We preach the gospel of Christ and the whole gospel. Those two things are wed together in our tradition. And if we do one without the other, then we only got half the cake. We're half baked, as it were. Maybe we need to start putting those two things together again. That if we really expect God to work these great and marvelous things in our lives, in our community, in our wider community, then we need to begin to do what these disciples were charged to do. Go out and tell them about Christ. Go out and tell them about the wonderful things God is doing in our midst, in this place, in this time. And maybe, just maybe, someone will listen to you. And then they'll come to faith. And all of a sudden, they begin to see that their life starts to get in order. And they start to see a new way of living. And they are added to our number. Maybe not our particular parish or our congregation, but we don't care about that. Because we're supposed to be building the kingdom of God. But it doesn't get built if we don't do our job. So that's a little bit what this lesson is about. It's about the fact that most of the time we don't say anything because we're afraid. Full of fear. We're afraid that somebody might reject us. We're afraid that somebody might be saying, oh, there they go again, those religious nuts. Oh, there they go again, talking about that Jesus person. Oh, you know, they're a bit touched in the head. You know, we've talked about that part already. Oh, you know, we don't like people laughing at us. We don't like people ridiculing us. That's what they were doing to Jesus in his own hometown. And then he said, well, I can't work here. I can't do what God wants done here because you don't believe. How can we come to belief unless we hear the word? How can the world we want to be changed if they do not hear the word? And it isn't only the job of the priest or the deacon. It is the job of each and every disciple to take the gospel that we have received, to take the goodness that we have received from God, the great work that he has done in our individual lives, and share that with others, whether it's in our workplace, in our own families, among our neighbors, our friends, wherever it might be. And it doesn't have to be so obvious. You don't have to keep pushing tracks into people's hands and that sort of thing. No, it's about the way you live. Imagine that your life is so different than your neighbor's lives that they start to look at you and they go like, you know, I really like what they got. I think I'm going to give you some of that. And you start talking. They go, you're always happy. You always seem to be happy. Why are you so happy all the time? The world's a terrible place. You should be sad once in a while. And if it's this trust, this hope, this love, this faith that moves you to that sense of contentment and peace, well, maybe they want some of that too. And they're not going to get it unless you share it. You're sharing it already by giving testimony in just the way that you live. About setting an example of how to live together in civility and harmony. About how to live together in generosity of spirit. How to live together by caring for one another. By bringing healing and wholeness to a broken and suffering world. People will notice. And then they'll ask you. And then you have your opportunity. And still, if they don't listen, fine. Shrug your shoulders and move on. I think that's good advice. Jesus isn't telling us that we have to pick somebody and make sure that we drag them kicking and screaming into the kingdom. No. He's simply saying, do your bit. Do your part. Speak the word. Show the life. Show the example. Be there. And when they're going to ask you, why are you that way? Tell them. They don't like it? Too bad. Sorry. It's what works for me. If that's what you want, try it out. You'll like it. Maybe then, with our combined faith, that energy would be so marvelous and so powerful that everybody around us will say, what's going on in that building? Listen to them. Listen to them sing. Listen to them pray. See how they take care of one another. See how they love one another. This is the way of Jesus. And this is all he asks of you and me. Well, we can be nervous about it. Bishop, clergy, colleagues, and even the old ladies who changed my diapers. Yeah, they make you nervous. But I can't stop the word. The word of God is powerful. And it never goes out without bringing something back. We may not see it. We may not know it. But God does. But we have to be the agents of that faith. We, like Jesus, need to funnel all of that energy into our lives and then into the lives of those around us. When we do that, we will have done our job. And Christ will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant.